89.1 Jazz. Think of one. And I tried to think of one artist that would put my guest, pianist Rick Rowe, at ease. And the first one that I could think of was Thelonious Monk. So, to give Rick Rowe a little decompression time as he arrived at the studio, I thought, well, we'll just play some Monk and then we'll play some Rick Rowe after we chat with Rick Rowe. And if you'll cuddle up on that microphone, Rick Rowe, you will be live on the air on WEMU.
Thank you, Linda.
There you are.
Thanks for having me.
I have wanted to do a talk with you on the air for such a long time, Rick.
Oh, I'm so happy to be back here again and getting to talk with you.
Yeah. Do you know the last time we talked?
It's been a few years at least.
A few, yeah.
Yes.
So we are celebrating Swing Theory today, your outstanding new CD with bassist Robert Hurst and drummer Kareem Riggins, and your upcoming CD release concert with Robert, mm-hmm. but with Nate Wynn on drums.
Yes.
Yeah, Kareem couldn't make it in for Carrytown.
No.
But Kareem's going to make it for the Detroit Jazz Festival.
That's what I heard, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
He just finished a tour in Japan with his own group.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I know little about it, but whatever he's doing, you know, it's pretty bad.
Well, you know, Rick, it is just so wonderful that these two guys found time in their schedule to be on Swing Theory with you. You know, talk about, you know, these two guys and what they mean to you.
Yeah, well, you know, Kareem and I go way back, and actually I go back with Bob a bit too, but with Kareem, I met him, I think it was the date that we all played at what used to be Jimmy's in Detroit, I think was the name of it. Rodney Whitaker had a gig there, and he had, you know, Dwight Adams, and I think Cash was there. I was on the gig, and Greg Hutchinson, and then the young Ali Jackson and Kareem Riggins were there. That's when Kareem met Greg, too.
Wow.
So, you know, actually, I have a bunch of that on tape.
Oh!
But that was a really memorable gig. And then after that, you know, I was able to record with Kareem and Rodney on my second CD. And the changeover and that feel and that connection was really strong. And so actually it was, you know, Kareem that kind of encouraged me. He said, you know, try to get Bob to do this recording because, you know, they love to play together. And I thought, oh, man, Bob Hurst. Okay, another dream come true. And so to have them both together was pretty amazing for me, one of the most amazing. Like I've gotten to play with Rodney Whitaker and Greg, and again Kareem, who seems to be quite a big center for some of it, you know.
Well, it really isn't anything that Kareem Riggins can't do. I mean, he's comfortable in sort of that Ray Brown, Oscar Peterson mode as a drummer. And then he's also really comfortable in the hip-hop arena. There's nothing he can't do.
His beats, he's got so many beats and so many inventive, creative stuff that just goes all through the way he plays, both as a drummer and the way he writes and produces. He also produced that concert we did out in front of the Detroit Library where he had, you know, three bassists and three keyboardists,
mm-hmm.
Mike Jellick and myself and Roger Jones and Bob and Rodney and Ralph Armstrong. And Dwight was on that too. And that was really fun. He made that work real well too. We were playing some of Gene Perlow's music, the bassist.
Yeah. Wow. Well, Rick Rowe is my guest this morning, and we've been kind of reflecting on his drummer on the date, Kareem Riggins. And again, the CD is called Swing Theory. So, you know, we've talked about, I guess, the history of you and Kareem Riggins. What did Kareem help you pull out and accomplish on swing theory? How did Kareem really work into your present?
Well, I'll tell you that it's really, you know, I'll say both of them, because Bob, the way that Bob and Kareem play together, and then me being able to have that instant connection makes the possibilities for the music pretty wide open. I will say too that my good buddy Mark Byerly was there to help me semi-produce some of the material by making, you know, giving me ideas and feedback too. So he had things that added in terms of like that intro to Swing Theory, you know, to set it up. It's when, as soon as Kareem starts playing, it's like, oh, it sets the mood. And so, you know, after that, the feel just keeps, exploding into something that just becomes pretty effortless and just waiting for the next thing to happen. So I can't say it's always specifics, but he's the one that chooses the beats that he played for, you know, Spider-Man. Same thing with Bob, you know, deciding what he's going to do on any given tune according to, you know, how I start playing the arrangement for them.
Wow. So you pick out the tunes,
yeah,
but then they pick out what they're going to bring to it.
Yeah, I mean, and they also are very, open and artists and musicians that are able to say, you know, tell me what you want, too, if it's not what you're hearing. So we're able to talk about a few things, but ultimately, you know, I like to let the cats play what comes to them, because usually it's you know, far more incredible than what I could say, you know, to play this, you know, especially when it comes to that level of playing. You know.
Right. So the ultimate result of what we're just about to hear kind of is a musical conversation as a result of some deep communication that the three of you went through in pulling the eventual end product off. Yeah?
Yeah, and you know, it's like when you also get together with musicians that like to feel the beat and the way you do. And they also have also similar backgrounds, and that, so everything feeds into making the music that much more powerful and kind of effortless, really,
mm-hmm,
you know.
Okay, so we're gonna lead off with Swing Theory, and it to me it just sounds like a one take wonder. Is it?
That was I can't remember exactly which take those were. The originals of mine were done in a couple takes.
Yeah,
and now I actually have kind of forgotten which one I used for it. You know, the other pieces took a little bit more.
Okay. Well, let's just let the listeners be the judge of, you know, of this communication between Rick Rowe and Robert Hurst and Kareem Riggins. Here is Swing Theory on 89.1. Thank you. 89.1 Jazz, a little Swing Theory. That's the original and the lead-off track on the new CD by pianist Rick Rowe, with Kareem Riggins drums and Robert Hurst bass. And on Friday evening at Carytown Concert House, Rick will get together with Robert and Nate Wynn on drums to play selections from Swing Theory, a CD release concert. Congratulations, Rick.
Thank you, Linda.
Oh, man. Swing Theory. For those who haven't seen your Facebook page and some of the things and the images that you post there, can you kind of talk about Swing Theory and some of the things that you like in astral regions and all that?
Yeah, it is a play off of the string theory, and it is because I do really love those space photos that NASA has made so readily available for anybody that wants to use them for wallpaper or for, as I do, posting them on Facebook, because I like looking at them every time I see my page, because to me it's visually another way of the way that I might feel about the music. You know, it invokes a lot of ideas and feelings that make me want to go play the piano.
Uh-huh.
You know, and those photos, they are unbelievable from the Hubble telescope and what other sources they have, and they just keep getting better, and you know, with that. And so anyway, I find it to be a big source of inspiration, and I do have a big interest in astrology or astronomy, and more they learn about physics with how planets and gravity and galaxies is so inspiring. And again, it makes me want to play the music more, even though I still have to gravitate back towards Thelonious Monk and Charlie Parker and Coltrane and Miles. But it all sounds to me like those photos have the same kind of effect. You know?
Well, there's a duality about you, and I guess all of us, though, but you and I kind of mentioned this as we were listening to Swing Theory. It's as if there was almost two people, the left hand sort of comping the right hand, and I love that metaphor about dancing and boxing. Can you explain that to the WEMU listener?
Well, that is a metaphor I like to use for, you know, learning how to, well, another term would be to bounce, you know, in terms of comping and how you treat the beat. And when I talk about the swing theory, too, it's also kind of a play on the fact that I used to teach a lot of jazz theory. And in that is the idea, too, that swing is a word that, again, it's like almost like jazz can be, if you haven't really checked out how many decades it's and how many individuals have treated it in a way that feels incredible and yet has that individual way of playing swing. In other words, to be able to play grooves and straight eighth beats like that, mm-hmm. that has it on Swing Theory, that swing can be an intricate part inside of funk, or as Bob likes to say, you know, I like to have some funk and some arm, you know, got to have some funk up in there. And so dancing is, again, trying to get with the rhythm of the music, or even create a rhythm, like some of the tap dancers, so Sarah Randazzo, who I work with. And then be able to, you know, boxing is a way to then, another form of, you know, now you're using the upper part of your body to try to treat the beat. And I said without hurting anybody, but it feels good when I'm comping with my left hand to hit certain rhythms, and then, you know, also have that be supporting the lines, but the individual attack on the notes in the right hand too. So it's still a form of being mostly based on rhythm.
Okay.
And I care a lot about melody and harmony, but that rhythm, you know what it is. It don't mean a thing, right?
Exactly. If it ain't got that swing. Oh, boy. You are inspirational, Rick.
Oh, so are you, Linda. Thank
you. Oh, no. And we are so glad that, you know, that this thing that you've been working on for a while has come out. Now, when I was thinking about this conversation that you were going to have, you know, I talked about, you know, your amazing touch and, yeah, your approach to rhythm. Now, the thing that's quite special about you is your song choices. They're different.
Yeah. It's no secret. I love Thelonious Monk and Charlie Parker. That music really hits me at the core, but I also definitely attracted to, I don't know how to label some of this other music because it falls into, you know, a popular realm, but as we were talking earlier, the music in specific of Alan Menken and his writing for many of those Disney movies in recent times really struck me, you know, unlike Richard Rodgers, those melodies are really beautiful, and the harmonies and also the forms, which are longer than some of the more traditional forms that are from some of the standards that we all know. But again, the harmonies and the melodies lend themselves also to reharmonization and substitution in a way that doesn't take away from, you know, the simple little sound of the melody.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and I also, you know, my stepdaughter and my son, they grew up with those movies coming out, so my stepdaughter could sing all those lyrics, and so I'm hearing the songs, and I'm like, wow, I really like those songs, and I like the whole feeling, and so I've always wanted to play those.
Well, you have. So we have some wonderful choices on on Swing Theory. Which of these sort of Disney pieces would you like to share with WEMU listeners this morning?
Mm.
Well?
Well, I heard you play One Jump Ahead yesterday.
Yes, I did.
And I enjoy that one, and maybe the other one from Aladdin. A whole new world.
A whole new world.
I like that one a lot, too.
Okay, so let's do that. Here is From Aladdin, done up jazz style by pianist Rick Rowe on 89.1, A Whole New World.
Thank you.
on 89.1. It's a whole new world, and it's a whole new CD for pianist Rick Rowe. It's called Swing Theory, with Robert Hurst bass, Kareem Riggins drums. And Rick Rowe has a special event on Friday evening at Carytown Concert House in Ann Arbor to celebrate this, don't you?
Yes, very excited about that with Robert Hurst and Nate Wynn, who play so well together. It's just more than I can say of joy to get to participate in that.
Yeah. Well, you played our last 501 jazz show with Robert and the tabla player, and it was just fantastic, you know. And I love to watch you in live performance. I know that you're thinking long and hard about maybe the theory and the notes and all the arrangements, yet you're just like a kid in a candy store when you're in live performance. What does playing live for people do for you, Rick?
Well, I can tell you on that performance, you know, between Bob and Nate too, who, you know, was not holding back in terms of being free to feel the way he wanted to feel and the way he looks when he plays, you know. And so you saw we were able to see each other pretty well. So I was really feeding off of him too, which means that, you know, I get awfully physical sometimes when I'm playing, and that can be a distraction to some, I suppose. But it's funny because I talked to Nate about that. He's like, man, you just got to do what you feel. I'm like, well, that's because you also made it so comfortable. And Bob, you know, and the whole band, and Andrew Bishop, I just thought he sounded incredible. But once again, that was one of those, you know, magic experiences of having that kind of musical dialogue with musicians who, whew, that conversation is so surprising, you know.
Yes, it is. But the presence of the people in the room
absolutely
also makes a difference.
I agree.
You know, and then so you've been doing this live performing for a long time. You were like the house pianist for the old bird of Paradise Jazz Club.
Yes, in fact, I subbed for Tad Weed last night and played with Ron and George, and that was a nice little reunion again. But yeah, I used to do that, and so having you bring up the audience, and you know, and in places like where people can both be a part of the music, but they can also have conversation and dining and all that. You know, you go between feeling more like the people that are closest to the band might be ones that are being more participating, to having the entire house be silent and very participating. Not that they have to be silent totally, but you can tell when the whole house becomes involved. So that feeds that energy of knowing when you're kind of like, well, it's kind of more close to me right now, or now it's like, whoa, you can really feel that connection. I enjoy it all, but it is an interesting dynamic, you know, and a difference between playing in a club where you have that potential and playing in a place where people are kind of already expecting, like, you got it, you know.
Yeah. But playing Carytown Concert House is a wonderful experience.
Yes, it is.
Because everybody can see you, you know, everybody can pay attention. People can be as participatory as they wish.
That's
at
right.
Carytown Concert House.
Yeah, and I love playing at the Carytown Concert House. I've also recorded there. That piano is magnificent. It's a beautiful piano to get to play. And you know, that's another aspect of feeling like, wow, this is really special when you get an opportunity to play a nice piano. It's just like the one at Solid Sound that I got to record on, we were talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's where that's one of those situations where the people are coming there specifically, you know, to hear the concert. And so that energy is probably already ready to go. But even still, I can say getting to play with Bob and Nate instantly causes a lot of great music to happen.
Oh, it does. Now, we're going to take a break from the current CD, and I just thought we'd visit an earlier date with Kareem Riggins, but this one has Rodney Whittaker on bass. And we're going to just do a little time traveling with you here, and I am going to surprise you.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Rick Rowe is my guest this morning on 89.1. Yeah, I think you'll all enjoy this. 89.1 Jazz. As Rick Rowe said, oh, we go from Disney to the Cat in the Hat. We got Hop on Pop from the Changeover CD by Rick Rowe of a couple years ago, with Rodney Whittaker on bass, but Kareem Riggins on drums. In the other corner, Kareem Riggins on drums, mm-hmm. and Rodney Whittaker over, and Rick Rowe over in his corner here in the studio.
On my boxing break.
you talked about learning things every day, Rick. Do the new things that you discover every day in music or science or publishing or technology, does that inform how you then are as a teacher and as a performer?
I'd say yes. I'd also say that in recent times, being able to get closer to the piano again has also been something that is full of surprises. I guess I'm without boasting about it, because I told my mother the other day I feel more like a caretaker sometimes, because the information and inspiration and a lot of ideas that have been working on for a long time will come through more fluid and more freely than I had, you know, ever, I guess I had imagined, meaning that I learn a lot by just playing and improvising, and by the things we talked about earlier, being inspired by science and everything from the space photos to physics to poetry and philosophy. And and I guess also you know about some of the major changes in my life, all that I've been able to heal from, and also just be really more aware, I guess. Not that I wasn't before, but, you know, when you lose somebody you love so much, you become even that much more aware of how you feel and how you felt. And I don't know, I guess I'm just counting my blessings and being grateful to play more, because teaching is my second favorite thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I do love it and enjoy the fulfillment of what I get from teaching, even though I tend to run my mouth a little too long. But that's part of the gift of gab that can be helpful, since repetition is the mother of skill. So I do like to repeat things over and over again. But when it comes to playing, the repeating also always can lead to something that I maybe hadn't thought I played before. As Monk said, every time he sits down, he finds something. I'm like, man, every time I sit down, I want to find something too, even if it's through playing some of the same things.
Exactly. Did you read Kenny Werner's book?
I have read some of Kenny Werner's book, Effortless Mastery.
And there's no wrong notes.
Well, Miles Davis said that too. And when I was younger, I thought, wow, I want to get to the place where I could feel that way about it. But, you know, for me, it took a while to start being able to hear and accept how I felt about any of the 12 notes against any chord, you mm-hmm. know. That's why, you know, I really enjoyed hearing how Coltrane played the avant-garde when he stepped in for Ornette playing with Don Cherry, because that sensibility that came from playing all that bop and all that, I can't escape how that draws me in a big way. And that's what I've always been trying to go for, too.
Wow. Oh, and I think you accomplished it. I think you have, you know, given us all just a really quick jazz history lesson, and, you know, about Rick Rowe today. I am just, I think I speak for the entire community that we hear something just refreshing, inspirational. We hear a give back in swing theory. We hear a new lease on life, an understanding of love, a lot of really good things on this new record from you, Rick.
Thank you so much, Linda.
Mm-hmm.
And thanks to all of you here, too. Since I've always been so grateful to be a part of the jazz and music community here, as well as, you know, having WMU be my premier spot, you know, it's like the only spot. That doesn't mean I won't get it more out there, meaning I'm just really grateful for all of you here, and thank you for having me again.
Thank you. So Rick has a CD release concert on Friday evening at Carytown Concert House. Curtain time is 8 p.m.
Yes, just one set.
Yeah, just one set with, Robert Hurst on bass and Nate Wynn drums. God, you guys are wonderful. So what we're going to do is we'll wrap things up with Little Bebop, Dizzy Stigs, okay?
Yeah.
All right, and then we'll do news from National Public Radio. And then in the next hour, we're going to give away a pair of tickets to your concert, okay?
Great.
Rick, thank you so very much.
Thank you so much, Linda.
All righty. And you have been listening to 89.1 WEMU and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti. We are listener-supported public radio from Eastern Michigan University. We're online at WEMU.org. Here is one more from the outstanding new CD by pianist Rick Rowe. It is called Swing Theory. Again, Robert Hurst and Kareem Riggins on drums. And it's Dizzy Stigs, the news from NPR. Thank you.